Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. I'm just plain and simple. And I thank God for the opportunity that he allowed me to go by that you get a better understanding and background for what God is saying to his people. As always, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule so we can meet together on Wednesday night as we explore the Word of God together. I want you to know that this is not no accident and that God has something for you, commitment for your studying and reading the printed Word and coming together on Wednesday and taking time out of your schedule, you know. God appreciates it. That's giving God glory. When we get together on Wednesday night, it's a form of praising God. Praising God just don't mean holding your hand up and say, praise the Lord, when the pastor says. When we take and do things that will be pleasing to God, we're giving him praise, we're giving him honor, and we're giving him glory. So don't take it lightly what you're doing. And if it's, you know, through God's will, we will continue to meet on Wednesday night as long as we have a platform to perform. I'm going to go ahead and play a song, and once the song is finished, we're going to come back and we're going to explore the Word of God together. And the name of the song is If I Was a Singer. So listen to the words and understand what the person is saying through his song, that we can even gather some strength from it and some direction as far as what we need to do. I'm going to play the song. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into the lesson. For those who may be listening on the Internet, if you would like to make comments, pray, sing, or give words of encouragement, you can dial the number 1-347-945-7659. And once you come into the studio, if you press the 1 button, you can be on the air and voice whatever you would like to. So I'm going to go ahead and play the song. We're going to come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we're going to explore the lesson together. Tonight we are coming out of the book of Titus. We're in the 3rd chapter. We're going to explore verses 1 through 11. And the title of the lesson is tonight. The title of the lesson tonight is God's Grace is the Motivation for All Good Deeds. It's by the grace of God that we do his will. It is by the grace of God that we do good towards one another. And is we are saved in order to do good. I'm going to go ahead and play the song, and I'll be back, and we'll get into the lesson. Listen, be prayerful, and be blessed.
If I were a drummer, I would use my cymbal. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. If I were a singer, ooh, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. If I was a doctor, I would use my research, a prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, ooh, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. Oh, people of the Lord,
as the people of God, let's hear.
Oh, let His praises ring. If I were an eagle, I would use my wings. Ooh, since I'm a believer, I use everything. Come on, real big.
Make a joyful noise
unto the Lord.
And that's a good reminder to let us know that no matter where we are in our life, no matter how much knowledge and truth we have gained, no matter if you're a new Christian or you've been on a battlefield for a long time, all of us have a responsibility to give back to God what he has given to us. God gives us everything that we are for the kingdom. And he put a gift and a purpose in each and every one of us, because one of the reasons for him creating us was for his glory and his praise. Set on your hand and say, I don't know enough. I'm shy. Whatever you may be saying, if it's holding you back, we all have the responsibility to give God the praise. The Bible tells us that God said, if the people don't praise him, he said he can make the rocks cry out. And I don't want a rock crying for me. All of us working together for the good, for the same common cause, is what will make a difference. One of us is needed. And each one of us has a purpose. And each one of us has been given gifts. The song man said, if I was a singer, I'd use my voice. If I was a doctor, if I was this or that. Whatever we are, we should use it to give God glory. That's our responsibility. And as the scriptures say, that's our reasonable service. So now it's time to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone out there would like to pray, please press the 1 button. Because I myself tonight feel that I'm in need of prayer. So if someone would like to pray, please press the 1 button. So that we could go to the throne of grace. Well, okay, a caller pressed. Caller number 504-430-48. Your mic is open.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Dear God, we come to you once again on this Wednesday night. We come to you with thanksgiving, Father. We come to you humbly as we know how, asking you to forgive us of our sins, those we've committed knowingly or unknowingly. We want to thank you, dear God, for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being our Savior. We thank you, dear God, for sending your Son to give us the gift of salvation. And, dear God, we want to thank you that we still live in a country where we can have open Bible study over the airways. We can still talk to each other. Tell them about the goodness of you and your Son. We can still share the good news, dear God. We know there might come a day when we will no longer be able to do it. But as long as we can, we thank you, dear God. We want to thank you, dear God, for Minister Adams. We thank you for everything you've given into her and that she shared with us. We look forward to it, and we thank you. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you so much for that beautiful prayer. And it was something that I needed. And I'm just grateful that you did come forth and pray for us tonight. Sometimes, just like you guys, because we're human, we don't always feel like praying. We don't always feel like, answering a call when someone say, do you want to pray, But sometimes, I'm going to speak about myself. Right now is the time that I felt like I needed someone to pray. And God had a ram in a bush. And sister, I say thank you. And I'm so glad you did it. And I needed it. because y'all have to remember, I need prayer too. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you. And we're going to go into the lesson now. And I'm in the city of Macomb, and I don't have a lay-in phone here to be able to go into the studio. So I'm on my cell phone, and I'm being very cautious to not press a button because we all know how easy that is to do. So if I be, you know, if my voice waves a little bit, it's because I'm trying to position the phone so it doesn't touch my face. But we're in the book of Titus tonight, and I ask that you read the entire book. Callers has called in, and our title is God's Grace is the Motivation for All Good Deeds. We know that we are not doing good to be saved, but because we are saved, we should do good. So grace, which has been granted to us by the Father through his Son, and him taking his Holy Spirit and allowing him to indwell within us, is the force that helps us to do good, to guide us to do good, to motivate us to do good, to give us all the provisions necessary to do good. So you got to understand tonight, even our doing good, come on, y'all, is a gift from God. So when I say God's grace is a motivation, is the motivation for our good deeds that we do, you have to understand that. Without the grace of God, you wouldn't do good. You would try, and you would do it sometime, and you do it when you want, but it's our duty to do good. And we have to keep in mind, we are saved in order to do good. See, God has established a kingdom. Once Jesus died and those who believed in him become a child of the kingdom, become a child of God, becomes an heir and a joint heir. And, you know, that's in this earth, but we're not of this earth. We're in the kingdom. And God wants all of the believers that's in the kingdom, the body of Christ, the household of faith, how we should treat one another, especially, the scriptures say, those in the house of faith, but how we should treat others, that we can let our light so shine that men could see the good works that God has done in us, and God's going to get the glory. But we have to remember that. And if I do the background on a lesson tonight, you know, Paul is the writer of the book, and if you began to read the whole book like it's Acts, usually in the first chapter, Paul, you know, they're going to say who the writer is. So we know that Paul identified the letter of Titus. We know this is called a letter. The Bible call it a book. And we know it's an epistle. The origin of Paul's relationship with Titus is a mystery. Though we can gather that he may have been converted under the ministry of Paul, who called Titus my true child in a common faith. Paul clearly held Titus in a position of great respect as a friend and a fellow worker for the gospel. You know, Paul often praised Titus for his affection, his earnestness, and his bringing comfort to others. You know, Titus, you know, it was the grace of God that was in Titus. Let him have them attributes and how he was always bringing comfort to others and encouraging. You see, because of that, other people noticed him. And so did Paul. And Paul began to use him. because he saw what he was made of. Has anybody looked at you lately and know that they could count on you, that they could trust you, that you will be kind and thoughtful towards others? You see, Titus was a Greek. And if you know anything about Gentiles and Jews, you know that Greeks were Gentiles. You got to go back and see what Paul was doing. I think when we studied Timothy's father was Greek and his mother was a Jew. Now we see that Titus is a Jew. But you got to remember, one of Paul's assignments from God was to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. You remember after the Israelites just kept doing it their way, God say, you know, I made you my nation, you my chosen people, but you refuse to worship and praise me. He says, so I'm going to open it up to everybody. And then we as Gentiles had a chance to the tree of life. And then God used Paul to bring the message to the Gentiles. You see, Titus was taught and nurtured by Paul. He stood before the elders of the church in Jerusalem as a living example among the Gentiles. You know, everything that God does, he has a purpose. Now you got Titus standing up there, and Titus is a Gentile, and he's standing up in front of the leaders of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, all of the leaders and the priests, and he's a Gentile. But you see, God's gonna do what he wants. And he's going to give you evidence. When he opened the door for the Gentiles, he's showing how he's going to put you in higher places. You see, later he became Paul's special ambassador. And eventually, he was the overseer of the church in Crete. Now, Crete was a church that was on an island. You see, Paul left Titus in Crete that he may straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. You see, in Crete, they had a bunch of towns. And Paul had to leave, and he left Titus there. You see, the Christian movement on Crete began when the Jewish Cretans, that was the people who lived in Crete, who was Jews, were in Jerusalem for the Pentecost. And they experienced the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and returned to Crete and spearheaded the Christian movement on the island. You remember I told you at the day of Pentecost, everybody, all of the Jews was in Jerusalem to be counted or to pay a tax. And that's when the church was established. But all those people, all of those Jews who had came to Jerusalem, and not just the Jews, but everybody who had received the gift of the Holy Ghost and believed the word of God as truth and that Jesus was the Messiah, when all of these people went back to their homes, they started up churches. They started up fellowship. And the Christians, the Jews that was in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost that lived on Crete, in Crete, which was an island, went back there and started the Christian movement. So Paul had went there to give them some more facts and information and teaching, and he had to leave, and he left Titus there. That is something. The letter to Titus, quote, one of the Crete prophets. They had prophets and everything at that time. And, you know, like Paul said, there was unfinished business. And the prophets of Crete were saying that Cretans were always liars, evil brutes, lazy and gluttons. So that's just identified excuse, some of the problems that they had in Crete. You see, the letter to Titus was a step in his discipleship process. First and Second Timothy, along with Titus, remember, are called the pastoral letters. Just as Paul had done with Timothy, he told Titus how to organize and lead the churches. Hallelujah. Paul gave instructions to Titus about the role of specific groups. So when Paul was teaching Titus, he talked about older men, how they should act, older women, young women, young men, and slaves. That was most in his message, if you read the whole book, told older women they should be example for the young women. You know? So that was the general instructions to the believers about their conduct. Titus was written after 1 Timothy, but before 2 Timothy. Remember, last week we did 2 Timothy, and that was the last writing of Paul, even though Titus and Philemon appear in the Bible after that. So keep that in mind. Paul was always teaching that there is nothing more significant than a solid foundation in Christ, and nothing is more motivational than grace to live a life of good deeds. Because we are saved, we should want to do good. Great. And we have to remember one of the reasons for God saving us here on earth. Because we could have got saved and went straight to the place that God had for us. But God created, and he wanted to see his creation join Christ. We joined the Christian band. We became a soldier in the army of the Lord when we accepted Christ. And we did that, and we should know that we are saved in order to do good. So if you saved and you're not doing anything good, they'll say, show me your fruit. You know, you're unprofitable to God. So we're going to read the lesson. I'm in the third chapter. I'm going to read the first, second, and third verse, and it reads as follows. Keep in mind to be subject of principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Just be ready to do the work. God's going to provide the opportunity. You know, God provides all of the opportunities for you to do something for somebody sometimes. And every time you don't. Number two, to speak evil of no man, to be not brawlers, be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men, not some, all. And three, for we ourselves also was sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceivers, serving divers of lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Telling Timothy, you know, give the person a chance. Don't be so hard on the ones that's not having come in. He said, remember, look what the scripture says, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish. The same way they are is how we were until we met Jesus. So it's our job to help them to meet Jesus, but he's telling us how to do it in the meantime. Be gentle, showing all meekness. You know, don't talk down to people. Don't talk evil of man. Oh, she ain't got it right yet. But you ain't get it right till you got it right. And I'm not picking on no set of people, but sometimes a lot of old people, when they get old enough, it look like they get amnesia away how they were and what they did. We gotta give people a chance to come. We gotta draw them with love. You know, an old lady used to tell me all the time, you cannot catch flies with vinegar. Hallelujah. When she first used to tell it to me, I didn't know, but by and by I understood. If we have tasted God's grace at the cross, we will change people. There is simply no way that we can receive God's gift of eternal life and have our sins forgiven by the blood of Christ and go on living our former lives. I'm not saying your newness in Christ gonna make you perfect, but there are truly gonna be some things you used to do you don't do no more. And the word of God will allow us to know what we're still doing that need to be changed. And then as Paul said in his word, then you press. You see, it's a process and an activity that's going to go on until Jesus come back and get us. We know more, so we do more, and we know more because we want to do better. See, God raised you from the dead because you was dead in your sin, gave you a new heart, gave you new understanding of the truth, and brought you personally to knowing. God's grace leave you a different person than you were before. And he was talking about to obey the rulers. He said the principalities. The principalities is people in authorities. And then the power is the people in authority, and they usually say the power that be. And magistrates, it's just like the magistrate court here. That's the judge that handles civil. But, you know, he say, obey him. You see, when we realize that we are different, they say we should be peculiar people, Christians. We should respect those in authority and let our light so shine among men that God will get the glory. How many times things have happened in our Christian, I ain't going to even say so-called Christian, because if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. But how many times people say, she says she's a Christian. Or look how those Christians act. That's what we are portraying to the world when we do it like they do it. If there's no difference, where's the evidence? If there's no difference, how will somebody know if you are a follower of God? You know, and I even went and looked up that scripture where they say it in Matthew 22 and 21, say it's render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and unto God the things that are God. You got to really understand and study. You know, Jesus was going into a town, and to get in that town, they had to pay a tax. And Jesus being who he was, you know, like big shots don't feel like they have to do what everybody else do. But they didn't have any money. And Jesus told Peter to go to the sea. And when he get there, a fish was going to jump up. And a fish mouth, he would find a coin. Peter went and got the coin and brought it back to Jesus. And when they went to the gate of the city, they paid. Jesus didn't always go around to try to take the shortcut to get something for nothing. And we should always obey the law of the land. And this is the only way we shouldn't. Anytime the law of the land or the law of man that's in authority is asking you to do something that is, then you don't have to do it. Or you know, you make a decision and you do it or you don't do it. But he said, the speed limit is 70, drive 70. Your taxes, do pay your tax or they're going to take your house. You know, we have to, we live in the world. We're not of the world. But God say, be a good citizen so that your light can shine. Be peculiar so they know your mind. And then we go on with the grace of God. You see, the devil craftily lays his traps, enticing you to satisfy your needs and disobedience to God. All these powerful forces make us tend to forget what God has done in our heart by his grace. You know, sometimes they say, everybody else doing it. Well, yeah, everybody go jump in the Mississippi. You going to go with them? You pick and choose what you want to compromise your faith with. But you should line it up with the truth, Cam. So we need to be reminded again and again how God's grace has laid hold of our lives. So Paul is saying, being reminded of God's grace that changed us will motivate us to show his grace to others through our good deeds. And if we look at verse 5, 6, and 7, and it reads, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly, be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are heirs. And, you know, if you look at that, you know, in the scripture, they always talk about the Christians and us believers as heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. When you see the word heir, an heir is a person who is legally entitled to inherit something upon death. And we have a hell of an inheritance, eternal life, salvation. They're going to be Sunday, hotty, hotty, no sickness, no more crying. Come on now, no more death. And we're going to live with our Father forever. They say being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I thank God I'm an heir. You see, there is nothing that we have done or could ever do to save ourselves. All three persons of the Trinity are mentioned in these verses, if you picked it up, because all three principalities, all three, not principalities, but all three participate in the work of salvation. You see, based on the redemptive work of his Son, Jesus, the Father forgives us and send the Holy Ghost, who wash away our sins and continually renews us. This scripture lets us know it according to his mercy, the washing of regeneration. See, the scriptures say by the washing and regeneration and renewing. You see, the regeneration here refers to the work of the Holy Ghost and the salvation experience, that new life in a believer. You know, plenty of times people are asked, are they born again, and they say they don't understand it. But I'm going to give you a little 101 right now. Many times in the Bible, God expressed this concept. In John 3:3-7, you see, that's when Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. You see, regeneration is the work of God through the Holy Ghost, of placing in one who has faith a new. See, we all had a sin nature because of Adam, but we have a new nature. A new nature is newness. We are born again by the regenerating of our old nature into our new nature by the Holy Ghost. And this enables us to do God's will. The Holy Ghost is the agent, a divine workman of this regeneration. And guess what, y'all? His instrument, his tool, and how he performed the Bible. We are instantaneously born again the moment we accept Christ as our Savior. And if you look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So all of y'all must realize that you are born again. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's the new birth. The new birth. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Remember, we are not doing good to be saved, but because of what God has done, we should be motivated by the grace of God to do good works. And if I read 8, verse 8, it says, if a faithful saying and these things will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. I'm going to read it again. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. He said, because, and look why. Look what he said, when you do it. These things are good and profitable unto man. It don't make God a bigger God. It don't make Jesus more of a Savior. It don't make the Holy Ghost a Holy Ghostiest. It is profitable unto man. You see, while good works can save us or even increase God's love for us, because he loves us unconditionally, how could you think in the good works? Now, he asks us to do it, and he, you know, wants us to be obedient, and that gives him praise. But watch this. When God bestowed his love on us, we was wilding in our sins. While we were yet sinners, God allowed his son to die on the cross. So let's be real. While good works can't save us or even increase God's love for us, because he already loved us totally, he has that agape love. But when we do good, it is a true indication of our faith and love for Christ. The things that we do tell others who we are. It is said that our good deeds is how we pay rent to live on earth. Is there any evidence of gratitude for what Christ has done for you and how you serve others? We have to remember we are saved to serve. We should just do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. To do good is to obey God's word. It is better to obey than a sacrifice, the scripture says. Obedience is real important to God. Watch this. And he attaches a lot of benefits to it. Take care of God's business and he'll take care of yours. And Job said in Job 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Job said that. And then James turned around and said in James 2:26, for those who are writing. James 2 and 26 says, for the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead. He is saying that if you are saved, you should want to work. And remember, only the things that you do for Christ is going to last through this life and going to be with you in eternity. Jesus said he's coming back with a reward in his hand. Yes, everybody who accepts Christ with their whole heart, mind, body, and soul are saved. And we're going to all need him. But he said, I have the rewards in my hands. You know, just like Paul was martyred for loving on Jesus. They say there's a special place for those who was martyred for Jesus' sake. And we're going to read the last verses, 9 through 11. They say, but avoid foolish questions and genealogy and contention and striving about the law. But they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heteric, that's a person who believes or practices religious heteracy. And heteracy is a belief or opinion contrary to Christian doctrine. He said, when you get them kind of people, after the first and second admonition, which is giving them counsel and advice and cautioning them and give them a gentle reproof, he said, reject them. 11, knowing that he sinned, being condemned of himself. You know, you don't have to go around beating a dead horse like the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees back there after Jesus had died and Paul was trying to teach grace. You know, they said, you know, for you to become a Christian, you have to be circumcised. You know, you can't do this, and, you know, you can't take a little drink. The Bible never told you you couldn't drink, but if you take a little drink, they want to put you in hell. You know, if you, in some places, if you wear pants in the church, you know, it's like you done committed the biggest sin there ever was. You know, they're still bickering about the law, the Judaizers and the Christians. You know, they say these people are subverted, and they are going against what is being established by an institution. That's how we have break-offs. You know, like Jehovah's Witness broke off for what they believe. And Jehovah's Witnesses and Christians could argue all day long. God said, if you know what the truth is, and you have to find out what the truth is for yourself, you got to study, as Timothy said. Because, see, that's how you become gullible. Because you're not standing on a foundation, and anything somebody tell you, you know, there's a rule of thumb. If you tell a person 12 times the same thing, sometimes they believe, begin to believe it. But if you got a strong foundation, you got to hold on, and you got to know for yourself. Why many of our young men go to jail, and before you know it, they done become Muslims? They've been baptized. They was in a Baptist, Catholic, Methodist church, and they get to jail, and the Muslims start, you know, talking to them, and they change to Muslims who don't accept Christ as the Savior. So now they don't believe they need Christ, so Christ became irrelevant. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. The Bible affirms over cover to cover that God exists objectively. Apart from our ideas about it, God is God. Spoke the universe into existence. He has revealed himself in the written word of the scripture and supremely in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. God is true, whether you believe in him or not, whether you like who he is or not. This lets us know we are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. The foundation has already been laid. You can make up a God who is all love, who never judges anyone. But such a God is not God, and he has revealed as he has revealed himself in the Bible. You can make up a God who lets everyone go to heaven, no matter what the person believes. But that God is not God of the Bible. If you believe in this tolerant God, then you have rejected Jesus Christ. Very exclusive and narrow. You either accept him or you don't. You see, all of this is necessary background to understand what Peter is getting at in Titus, the scriptures that we read. He tells Titus not to get involved with meaningless controversy and theological speculations, and to deal with people who promote such ideas in the church. See, now watch this. All this stuff I was talking about sound like people outside of the church, but he was giving Titus these instructions on how to run the church. Not the unsaved people, the church. That's something. And that lesson is still necessary for the day. Paul's words are meaningless unless there is such a thing as notable absolute spiritual truth. He is assuring that the gospel is true and that it is the responsibility of the leader in the church to maintain that truth by dealing with those who try to subvert it. He is saying to maintain the truth of the gospel, a church leader must deal properly with fractions. Too many fractions in the church go undone for whatever reason. You see, these are the people who always want to break away from like-minded people. Please understand the truth of God and all its power is totally revolutionizing. The truth by itself is revolutionizing. You see, but few are the Christians who are disciples in God's word. Have you shared the word with anyone lately? We have very few mentors, and all of us have enough to take someone and mentor. Few are mentors. And most are content with going to church, but never learn to study the word of God on their own. And I want you to tell you, these people are susceptible. They're easy prey. They're easy to cause ruckus and things like that. You see, when people talk about foolish things in a straightforward manner, people become gullible. Their methods work because there are people who really don't study the scripture for themselves. They'd rather watch a film than read God's word. I come across people all the time, and I might ask them something about the Bible. They say, yeah, I saw it in the Ten Commandments. And I told them, good. I said, you remember what happened? And I built on the movie, The Ten Commandments. Because you got to just plant a seed. I only give information, but the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation. You got to meet a person where they're at and build on what they got. They got a seed. You put water on it and help it to grow. Read the Bible, and instantly you will know the truth. They are unsure. These people, they never seriously read what God had said in his word. You know, the word of God is where God reveals himself to us. See, when you know so much about God, you say, oh, no, I know God don't work like that. Now, we got to be careful because we say our thoughts is so much different from God's thoughts, and God is so superior that we can't know all. But the most we got about him, the most he wants us to know is in the word of God. The more we know, the more we know God. And the more we know God, the more we know ourselves. You can never know who you are until you know who your maker is. And I'm going to close with this tonight. All of us have to learn to give unto others God has given unto us. And that's our lesson for tonight. Are there any comments or concerns? Next week we'll be in the book of Philemon. It's the last writing of Paul. The Philemon is the 13th letter of Paul's writings. And I hope our journey with Paul has been eye-opening for you. You know, God gave Paul a hell of an assignment. And Paul did it well. Paul said he was taught by Jesus on the road to Damascus. So Paul came out with the adulterated truth, and he believed it. We learn, and Paul started with the truth and the knowledge and the wisdom. God had given him assignment to bring it to the Jews and to explain grace against the law and tell us we heirs and joint heirs and we should study the church. He wanted him to bring all of that to the people. But you know, I always tell you, wherever God guides and wherever God sends, the provisions is already there. Not just for Paul, but for me and for you as well. And if anybody have any safe thing to say, you could press the one button. It is now the 9:29. We have 1 minute. And if no one would like to say anything, I'll lead us out with a benediction. Next week, we're going to be in the book of Philemon. And you can read it whenever you get ready. It's one chapter. It's one chapter. And we're going to be in that book. And when we finish that book, we're going to be done finish the 13 epistles or letters or books or whatever you want to call them, the writings of Paul. And then the next, I think, 7 books is also letters, but they're not written by Paul. They're written by individuals. And before the maybe 6 books written by individuals, there's the book of Hebrews. And the Hebrew book, the author is unknown. So we don't know who the author is. But after we read Hebrew, the next, I guess it may be 6 books, is letters just like Paul's, but they're written by the individual that bears their name. James wrote James. Jude wrote Jude. And when we get through with those letters, episcopals, or books, whatever you like to call them, then it's the book of Revelation. And we would have walked all the way through the New Testament as we did through the Old Testament. And I thank each and every one of you for being on this journey, taking this ride. We've been riding it together. And I hope you get as much fulfillment out of it as I did. You know, this is not labor for me. If it is labor, it's labor of love, because just as I look up to tell you, I learn for myself. That's why they say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. when I get on a program every Wednesday night and speak and speak and speak, I hear myself. I'm increasing my faith. I'm increasing my knowledge. So what, you know, it's real cool for me. But that's our lesson tonight. Next week, Philemon. And if no one has anything to say, we're going to close out with a benediction. And I always use my Second Peter 3:18. It is my desire that each and every one of you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is our reasonable service. And that's our program for tonight. I just want to tell you that God loves you, and so do I. And when I got on the line tonight, I was feeling like I wasn't feeling like myself. I wasn't in any pain or any sickness, but I was feeling blah. But I could tell you right now, I'm feeling mighty good. And I want to thank you all for the part that you played in it. I want to thank you for the lady that prayed. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back again next week. God loves you, and so do I. Go out in the name of Jesus and just tell somebody about somebody who can save anybody. Good night. God's blessing be with you until we meet again.